Our next case this morning is number 052484, the United States against Nicholas Grigg. Ms. Boyle.
Good morning. May it please the court.
We do have cases that are not Social Security cases.
Yes. This is a very simple matter, believe it or not. And the reason why I say that is because the facts are not that difficult. It is a child pornography case in which a person entered a plea, that being Nicholas Grigg, entered a plea to the matter. But I think the reason why we're here is because of what the district court said in its decision and in the imposition of the sentence of this matter. Specifically, I would also submit to the court that the district court somewhat invited this matter to come before you because of the district court's decision as to how he needed to impose the sentence in this matter.
Well, I think you're right. If the judge had merely said, this is the guideline range, it's presumed to be reasonable, and I'm going to impose a sentence of 37 months, which he did, the low end of the range, that would have been the end of this case, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And he used language that causes us to be here by saying that even though the changes in the federal sentencing guidelines and the Booker decision, he has said to us in that courtroom that because of the Feeney Amendment and the Child Protection Act, that he has to impose, it is mandatory that he imposes the guideline range.
If we decide that this part of the guideline should be treated as advisory rather than mandatory, that the Feeney Amendment must be treated as advisory, what relief do you really see? My thought was that perhaps a Palladino-style remand, because the circumstances and the benefit of that approach would really be identical to the other cases. And I take it this is a plain error case, just like Palladino, right?
I would agree that it's plain error. Certainly, when we walked into the courtroom at the time of the sentencing, we did not know that Judge Stantmiller was going to bring up the Feeney Amendment, the Child Protection Act. And so I think it is plain error. I think you could also make an argument, though, under the misuse of discretion if there is a finding that Judge Stantmiller rested on error of the law, but I would, and my brief cites plain error standard. I don't know what the remedy would be. I agree with Judge Evans that all Judge Stantmiller had to do was say 37 months, and that's within the guideline range, and I've considered all the factors in 3553. However, that's not what we have. So I cannot guess, I cannot speculate as to what Judge Stantmiller would have done if he was under the belief that he did not have to impose a mandatory guideline sentence because of the Child Protect Act.
See, I don't know.
Justice Palladino, our court could ask the district court whether it would have sentenced the defendant differently if it had known that the Feeney Amendment has to be read as advisory. And if the court states, that it would have sentenced it differently, then we could say, take remand for resentencing. If the court indicated it was given the same sentence, then we could review the sentence for reasonable. And wouldn't that save the government the trouble of an intensity hearing with transporting the defendant to the hearing if, in fact, the district court would have gone the same way under an advisory?
I would agree with that.
Now, here's how I see this case, and tell me if this is wrong. We've got a judge who sets the guideline range, and nobody argues that it's incorrect. And 37 months is the low end of the range. And the judge then starts musing around about the Feeney Amendment and the Protect Act and that sort of thing, and talks about how Congress will respond to unwarranted departures with mandatory minimums of 10, 15, 20 years if judges are willy-nilly going under the guidelines in these sorts of cases. But I just don't know that I'm satisfied here that the judge did not believe he had the discretion, that he could have gone below 37 months if he wanted to, but more that he was concerned about the ramifications long term of doing so here.
Based upon my assessment of the record, I would submit at least the feel that I had when I sat in the courtroom, and the feel from the transcript is that the judge believed that the guidelines were mandatory because of the PROTECT Act and the Feeney Amendment. And I know that there was discussions about, you know, if there's complaints about this, that you have to go to the halls of Congress in order to challenge, in essence, the Feeney Amendment, or call your legislature to challenge the Feeney Amendment or the PROTECT Act. But there also exists that premise out there that if Congress does not like the Booker decision, that Congress could put into effect other types of amendments and other types of act to prevent district court judges from going below the guidelines and using 3553 as the type of sentencing and that needs to be imposed in individual cases. So, and we don't know what Judge Stattmiller was thinking. If Judge Stattmiller would have said, well, even though I feel it has to be mandatory, I have also consulted and I would impose the same sentence, we don't know that. And that's why I think a limited remand under Palladino would be appropriate.
Yeah, but on the other hand, too, if the judge had said, you know, I would really like to go below 37 months here, but my hands are tied by the PROTECT Act and the Feeney Amendment, so I'm stuck with 37 months even though I don't like it, then that's a clear indication that he viewed this as mandatory. I'm just wondering if he was just venting.
And he could.
Or seeing what would happen in the future here in these cases if judges went below the guidelines.
The only thing that I can cite in the transcript to respond to that is on page 42, where Judge Stattmiller said, because whether it is Jerry Boyle or Brian Pollack, one of you probably should take this case to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and have them look at whether indeed the penalties that Congress essentially mandated are draconian in nature. The other aspect and component of this...
Of course, the essentially is the key word there.
Yes. Well, that's one of the reasons, as I stated, that I'm here, but... The other aspect of this matter is we did at least, on behalf of Mr. Grigg, present evidence of from Dr. Palermo to talk about what caused Mr. Grigg to be in the position that he was. And I know that Judge Stattmiller referenced that. I know he discussed it. However, I don't know if he at all relied on it or in imposing a sentence at the low end of the guidelines, or if he just put it aside because he believed that the Child Protect Act prohibited him from even considering that and therefore imposed a sentence within the guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyle. We'll hear now from Mr. Pollack.
Good morning, Your Honors. Brian Pollack, Assistant United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, appears on behalf of the United States.
Do you believe that the Feeney Amendment and the PROTECT Act are no longer mandatory?
I believe that they are no longer mandatory. I believe that it's quite clear that they were advisory in nature. And I believe that Judge Stattmiller also, of course, realized that when he fashioned his sentence here.
A couple of circuits have held that precisely, that...
Well, I would say that...
Guidelines are no longer mandatory in these cases, and the Feeney Amendment doesn't apply anymore.
But the five-year minimum, for example, cannot be overrun. It is no longer discretionary, for example, on those who would either distribute or receive. In this case,
that's not the case here.
Of course, this case is simply a possession matter. Mm-hmm. And I think it's clear that Judge Stattmiller, in this case, being, if we could use the phrase, a child of the guidelines, gave them great due respect, as this court said in, I'm not sure, the Franciese and the McKittia case, which says that we have 18 years of guidelines to go by. They deserve great deference. And I think in terms of child sex offenses, they perhaps even deserve greater deference because of the intent of Congress that those who traffic in child pornography, that those who victimize children be dealt with severely. As noted, Judge Stadmiller in this case has referred to these penalties as draconian. But on the other hand, he's also said that he's not sure that Congress has gotten it wrong in this case because these offenses are so heinous. So although Judge Stemmler certainly directed, in a sense, or suggested that either the government or the defendant appeal this case, I'm not sure that necessarily this is the most appropriate case to come before this court, because Judge Stemmler, in the government's opinion, is quite clear that he has discretion to sentence below the guidelines in this particular case.
Where do you find that in the transcript?
Judge,
I mean, you can look at the gestalt of the transcript, maybe come to that conclusion, but is there any particular words that he uses that show that he is treating the guidelines as advisory?
Yes,
with
Your Honor.
The Feeney Amendment and Protect Act.
Well, I didn't specifically reference the Feeney Amendment, but at the conclusion of the sentencing, I specifically addressed the court on page 56 of the transcript to sort of try and avoid the issue which we have come here today, because Judge Stadmiller at one point uses the word, "I am obliged to sentence you," which an obligation implies that something is perhaps mandatory. But I specifically asked the judge on page 56, I said, "Judge, on that issue, I don't mean to speak for the court, but envisioning if there is appeal in terms of the sentence, is it the court's position today that it doesn't believe it can go outside the advisory guidelines because of the nature of the offense and the cases that the court has cited?" The court said no. The court then went on to give a several-page, for lack of a better term, a lecture on how it has that discretion. Page 57, the court states, "So, quite clearly, the court has the authority in appropriate cases to fashion what I believe to be a reasonable sentence in any case. And I have done so, particularly in immigration cases." Then the judge went on to talk about how it has, on numerous occasions, gone below the guidelines on immigration cases. This wasn't an appropriate case, I think, the bottom line, to go below what the advisory guidelines called for. There weren't any mitigating factors, despite the testimony of Dr. Palermo, which would entitle this defendant to a sentence below the advisory guidelines. In fact, there were factors which may have could have resulted, if we use the old terminology, an upward departure or a higher sentence. In this particular case, Mr. Grigg had actually made contact with an undercover officer who we thought was a 14-year-old boy, had set up a rendezvous to have sex with him. Mr. Grigg wasn't someone that it was said that he suffered from a mental illness, bipolar, but he wasn't someone who came from an impoverished background. His father was quite well-to-do. He had seven computer hard drives in his home. He didn't accept responsibility in this case. The PSIR came back and did not give him responsibility because of the various versions he had provided as to how he came across this pornography. So,
may I interrupt you for a moment, please?
Absolutely, Judge.
Because I want to ask you pretty much what I, you know, asked earlier. Because I think basically is that if we decide that the Feeney Amendment should be treated, you know, as advisory rather than mandatory, should we apply a Palladino style remand?
I think that may be appropriate, Judge, but when the final is said and done here, I don't think this is an appropriate case for that. I think it's quite clear that Judge Stadmiller knew that he could sentence below the guidelines in this case. I don't think he was mistaken about his authority whatsoever. The guidelines were always argued to him as advisory. Numerous occasions, the defense argued that they were advisory. Judge Stadmiller used the term advisory guidelines.
With it is that it seems to me, you know, and I believe me, if I were the district court, I'd be equivocating too at that point. But I do believe that the district court equivocated a number of times. And, you know, in the end, you know, discussed immigration cases. And I just can't be positive in reading the transcript. So, you know, what would be the problem with that?
When all is said and done at the end of the day, I don't know that it is a major problem if the court chose with an abundance of caution to pursue that route. I just don't believe it's necessary or appropriate in this case I think the record is clear that Judge Stadtmuller knew he had the authority and discretion to sentence below the guidelines.
So we should just affirm everything that was done here?
I believe so. That's what the government's request would be in this particular case, Your Honor.
But if you're right, a Palladino remand would simply result in this 37-month sentence, right?
I've been through the Palladino remand. I don't particularly find it erroneous. I don't speak for the Department of Justice as a whole in that regard, nor my office. My personal experience is that if this court needs to double check with a judge, I've had them go both ways before the law was solid in this regard. I don't. Once again, I'll reemphasize. I don't believe this case necessitates a Palladino remand. But if it were chosen by this court as a way to ensure that Judge Stadtmuller knew what he was doing in the sense of being able to sentence below the guidelines, then I don't find it particularly onerous. Are there any questions from the court?
I gather not. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
How much time does Ms. Boyle have? You have 2 minutes, ma'am.
I would suggest on behalf of Mr. Grigg that the court order a Palladino remand. And the reason why is because we resolve all the issues. We resolve all the questions. It will not take much time. It will be limited in nature to find out whether or not Judge Stadtmuller would have gone below the mandatory guidelines that were in place based upon his belief. I think the record is clear at certain points that Judge Stadtmuller believed that he had to impose the 37 months. I will also indicate that if you pick certain words out of the transcript, certainly one could make the argument, such as what Mr. Pollack has made, that the judge believed that they were advisory. But I will state for the record that it goes both ways, and I think you can look at it from the government's point of view, and I think you can look at it from the defense point of view or the appellate point of view, and I think the question should be resolved, and therefore I would suggest the Palladino remand. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Boyle. The case will be taken under advisement with the court's thanks to both attorneys.